Good morning, friends. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather on this day, this beautiful day that the Lord has made, this Lord's Day. And we give God thanks for this day and thanks for the opportunity to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. Just have one announcement to make to you all. You know, of course, we are still sort of in waiting for things to get better with this COVID pandemic, and so we're not doing a lot of things that we normally do in the course of our summertime worship experience. But one of the things that the Education Committee has done is they put together these little packets, vacation Bible school packets, to give out to the kids, children in the church, and whoever else we might feel would want one. Just has a lot of little neat vacation Bible school things inside. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity, since we're not having vacation Bible school this year because of the pandemic, to make sure that our kids are still learning things about the Bible. And so we thank the Education Committee for that. But if you want a packet, or you know a child who wants a packet, you can come and see me in the office. There's a little sign-up sheet that you can put your name down so that we know who all they went out to. But again, I would encourage all of you to get a packet for some of the children in your life and in this congregation. I would just, again, I know all of you are responsible folks, but I would encourage all of you, if you have not gotten your vaccine, please make sure you do that. I am scheduled to go on vacation at the end of the month. We were having a family reunion in Missouri. Unfortunately, we had to call the family reunion off because the rate of infection there in Missouri, in Southwest Missouri, has just gone out of the roof, particularly the new Delta variant. But it's all because the people, a lot of people, just refuse to get vaccinated. So please make sure you do that. One of the ways that we, as a nation, will be able to soundly get over this pandemic is if we get everyone vaccinated. So if you have not done that, please make sure that you do that. Just again, would like to remind you too that as things progress, we'll be getting information out to the congregation via our web page. So please make sure that you go to our web page to stay abreast of all the things that will be happening at Albany Presbyterian Church as we hopefully come online throughout the course of this summer, and especially in the fall. God willing. Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, beginning at verse 3 and reading through verse 14. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I love the book of Ephesians. Such a powerful little book. Most scholars question whether or not Paul actually wrote the book. It has some stylistic quirks that some people believe suggest that it was not written by Paul, but I personally believe that Paul wrote it, or at least someone very close in the Pauline tradition. But whether you believe that Paul wrote it or whether you believe that someone else wrote it, we can all agree that it's a powerful little book, especially the first 14 verses, part of which we just read this morning. In the Greek, that whole little passage that was just read is actually one long sentence, but it's a powerful sentence. And I confess that often when I've read the book of Ephesians, I've kind of glossed over those first few verses, being so eager to get to other portions of the book, particularly chapter 2, where it talks about God overcoming the barriers. But it's really the first 14 verses are actually a very powerful portion of Scripture, very beautiful passage of Scripture. On the one hand, it is filled with praise and adoration for God, the Creator, God the Father of us all. And on the other hand, it is filled with blessings for all of us, blessings that God has lavished on all of us as God's people. We heard some of those blessings for us, the blessings of forgiveness, the blessings of being adopted as sons and daughters of God, the blessings of redemption itself. Indeed, we are a people who are richly blessed. Someone said that the great sin for many of us is that we are often a forgetful people. We are forgetful of how blessed we actually are. We go through our lives and we sometimes get so immersed in our lives that we forget how blessed we are, that we are truly a people who are blessed by God. And we also forget, too, I think, that we are a people who are called to be a blessing to others. We are not just to be recipients of God's blessing, but we are called to be a blessing to others. Too often, in the minds of many people outside the church does not appear to them to be a place of blessing, but rather it appears to be a place where we often are engaged in cursing and judging, but we are called to be a people of blessing. Blessing to others. To be a place, a part of God's people is truly a blessing. To be a part of a place like this, a place where we can come together, a place where we are loved, where we love each other, a place where we support each other, a place where we are with each other in the midst of both the good times and the bad times of our lives, a place where we can pray for one another, a place where we can grieve with one another, a place where we can celebrate one another and encourage one another. It's truly a blessing. It is a blessing to be a part of a household like this. And we are called not only to be the recipients of blessing, but also to be people who are a blessing to others in return. And that's what our little passage this morning reminds us. One of the blessings of this passage that we just read is the blessing of God's revelation. The revelation of God's mysterious will. The revelation of God's plan. God's plan for all of us. We are reminded this morning that God has a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for the whole of creation. God has a plan. I know that might be hard to believe sometimes, especially when we survey the chaos going all around us in the world, not to mention the chaos that might be going on inside of our individual lives, all the things that might be going wrong in our lives. If you look around us sometimes, if you experience some of the chaos going on that can go on in our lives, sometimes we might be tempted to say to ourselves, boy, I sure hope that God knows what God is doing. I sure hope that God has a plan. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for the world. And rest assured this morning that God does. God has a plan for everything. God has a plan for the whole world. God has a plan. I don't know about you this morning, but I kind of like plans. We do a lot of planning around here at Only Presbyterian Church. We're always planning something. I like plans. I may not be the best planner, but I like plans. I like people who plan, and I especially like it when plans come together. I'm sure you like it when a plan comes together too, after you work hard, after you plan something for a long period of time and you see it come together. It's quite rewarding whenever a plan comes together. I like plans. I know I'm dating myself here just a little bit, but there was a television show in the 80s that I used to watch called the A-Team. Maybe some of you remember that too. Mr. T, I'm not sure you remember that, but it was about a group of former soldiers who every week had to execute a daring and dangerous mission, a mission that included a lot of planning and coordination. But at the end of every episode, after every mission had been successfully completed and accomplished, the leader of the team, the cigar-chomping Hannibal Smith, would always grin and he would recite the same words. "I love it," he would say, "whenever a plan comes together." And I love it too. Love it when a good plan comes together, especially when the plan in question is God's plan, because we're reminded that God has a plan, and in fact, that's what God's plan is all about. It's about coming together. It's about bringing all things together. That's what our passage this morning says. God has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan. For the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's the plan. That's God's plan, to bring together all things in heaven and all things on earth. That's God's plan. Think for a moment. Think about all the places that are divided. Think of all the places that are torn apart, the things that are torn apart. Think of all the broken and scattered places. Think about all the broken hearts and broken relationships. Think about all the ruptured souls out there. Think about all the people who are embroiled in conflict and strife, conflict between nations, conflict between people, conflict between families, conflict between races. Think about all of the places in our world that is broken. The good news this morning is that God has a plan. God has a plan to heal all of that. God has a plan to redeem all of that. God has a plan to bring all things together. To sum everything up in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to bring it all together, things in heaven, things on earth, especially things in heaven and things on earth. God is going to bring it all together. God is going to heal all of it, including the broken places in your own life, those torn apart places, those rent places, those disjointed places. God is going to bring all things together. I confess, I used to think that God's plan was something different. I used to believe that God's plan was basically to throw the world away, to destroy the world. I used to think that the most important thing was for us to be able to escape the world, to get to heaven when we die, and that was basically God's plan, to provide an escape route for us to get into heaven, to be with God, because God was going to throw everything away. God was going to destroy the world and throw this old world away. But God is not going to throw the world away. Throwing things away is what we human beings do. We throw away all kinds of things. We throw away relationships. We throw away whole communities. We trash and we pollute the environment because we believe that God is like that too, that God is just going to throw the world away. But God's not in the business of throwing things away. God is in the business of renewing. God is in the business of reclaiming. God is in the business of redeeming all things. God is going to redeem all things, renew all things, reclaim all things in heaven and all things on earth. God is going to bring everything together. God's going to sum it all up in the Lord Jesus Christ, all things. God says, God is going to bring together, to heal all things. Here's the remarkable thing about God's plan. The remarkable thing is that, at least remarkable to me, is that you and I have a major role to play in the accomplishment of God's plan. We have not just had that plan revealed to us. We've not just had the mystery of God's will revealed to us in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we have a central role to play in the accomplishment of God's great coming together plan. Of course, we don't have the central role. The central role belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was the initiator of God's great plan, of God's great coming together project. Jesus was the answer to the prayer that we pray every Sunday when we pray that things will be done here on earth as they are in heaven. In fact, Jesus is, or Jesus was that. He was heaven and earth come together. That's who Jesus was, heaven and earth come together. But now you and I, through the power of heaven, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I are the people who are called to put God's plan, God's great coming together of everything plan into action. We are the people who are called to be the executors of God's plan. I like what the text reminds us. It says that that's what we were chosen for. You and I have been chosen. We've been chosen by God. Isn't that wonderful? We've been chosen by God. You probably thought you are here this morning because you chose to be here. You got up this morning and you made a decision to come to church. You could have decided to go to any number of places. You could have chosen to sleep in, you could have chosen to have brunch, you could have chosen to go to the park, but you chose to be here this morning. But actually, you are all here this morning, not because you chose to be here, but you are here because you were chosen. You were chosen by God. We were all chosen by God. That's what the book of Ephesians tells. It says, before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. We were all chosen. Before God created anything, before God created the heavens and the earth, before God created the sun and the moon, before God created the stars, before God created any human being, you were chosen. Each and every one of us were chosen. We were already spoken for. We were already claimed. We were chosen by God. I know some of you may find that hard to believe. You may find that hard to believe about yourself. You were chosen by God. I was talking to a friend of mine last night who I graduated from college with. He lives in Oklahoma, but he just called me up and we were talking. He was reminding me of a job that he was offered when we graduated from college. It was a job in my hometown. It was with the power company, and they were really wanting him for some reason, and they kept calling him, and they really wanted him to come and join their team, and he never did take that job because he couldn't understand why they wanted him. He didn't believe that he had the necessary qualifications to be what they were looking for. They were looking for some kind of electrical engineer, and he just couldn't understand why they wanted him. He thought that there were all kinds of people who were better qualified for that position than he was. And so he didn't understand why they were wanting him so. And maybe you feel that way this morning about God. Maybe you're here this morning and say, why in the world would God choose me? Why has God chosen me? There's lots of people who are better, more qualified than me. Lots of people who are perhaps more educated. Lots of people who are more pious. More people with better qualifications. Why in the world would God want me? Why has God chosen me? But that's what we are reminded this morning. We are reminded that God has chosen us. God has chosen you. God has chosen you this morning. And what God has chosen each and every one of us for is not simply to go to heaven. But God has chosen us. God has chosen us to be the executor of God's plan. God has chosen us to be heaven and earth people. He has chosen us to be the people where things are done on earth as they are in heaven. He has chosen us to be a miniature working model of God's plan, to bring all things together, of God's plan to sum everything up, of God's plan to heal the whole world, of God's plan to redeem all things. He has called us to be that great coming together people, that heaven and earth people, because that's the plan. That's God's plan. That's the plan that God has called each and every one of us to be about this morning. You know, we live in a world that is broken in so many places, a world that is divided in so many places. Every time you turn around, people are fighting with one another, and we, you know, get anymore, you know, it's just a very depressing to even watch any TV, because it seems like we're always fighting, so divided, fighting over everything, you know, critical race theory today, and, abortion or whatever the things might be, but we're constantly fighting, we're constantly divided, constantly polarized, and no one seems to have a plan. No one seems to have a plan to put us back together. No one seems to have a plan of reconciliation. No one seems to have a plan that we can live together in harmony. Where is the plan? No one has a plan, at least a viable plan. But we're reminded this morning that God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for the whole world, and you and I are the plan. You and I are God's plan. God's plan to sum everything up in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan to bring all things together. That's what I like about our little church here this morning. We're people from everywhere. People from every walk of life. People from all over the world. People who have their genesis from all over the world. We're people from everywhere. We are people who have been gathered together, knitted together in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's plan for the whole world. And that's what we are. That's what we should be. Whenever the world is confused, they can look at us and they can say, see, there's God's plan. See that people over there, that little church, there's God's plan. See how they love each other? That's God's plan. See how we're fighting? We're constantly fighting and divided. We're divided by all kinds of things, divided in all kinds of ways. But look at that little church over there. That's God's plan. They're God's plan. They're God's plan for the whole world. That's God's plan. We are God's plan. And the good news is that one day in the fullness of time, that plan will definitely be all in all. We remember the scene at the end of the book of Revelation where heaven and earth come together. Heaven and earth come together, and the whole world is pervaded with the glory and the presence of God. And that has always been God's plan, to dwell in the midst of God's people, to dwell in the midst of this beautiful world that God has created, to dwell in the midst of all of us. That's God's plan. It's God's plan to heal us. God's plan to redeem us. God's plan to save us. God's plan to reclaim all of us, all of our lives, including the broken parts of our lives as well. God's plan is to redeem and reclaim and renew all of it. Because God loves all of us, and God loves the whole world. And so you and I are called to be that plan this morning, as we bear witness to what it means to be the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning for your loving presence in the midst of our world. And we thank you this morning for each and every person who is here and for this little congregation of faith that you have called together and that you are calling together. People from all walks of life, people that look at different ways, people from every corner of the globe, but you have called us together because we are your people. And we are your future. Lord, we ask that you help us to be that place of healing and grace and love in which you are leading the whole world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.